Our first scripture reading this morning comes from Paul's letter to the Thessalonians. I love when every time I have to say Thessalonians. From the first chapter, you can follow if you'd like on page 194 of the New Testament. Paul, Silvanus, and Timothy, to the Church of the Thessalonians and God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and the Lord Jesus Christ. We must always give thanks to God for you, brothers and sisters, as he is right because your faith is growing abundantly and the love of every one of you for one another is increasing. Therefore, we ourselves boast of you among the churches of God for your steadfastness and faith during all your persecutions and the afflictions that you are enduring. To this end, we always pray for you, asking that our God will make you worthy of his call and will fulfill by his power every good resolve and work of faith, so that the name of our Lord Jesus may be glorified in you and you in him, according to the grace of our God and the Lord Jesus Christ. The word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God.
As we've been doing the many several weeks in this time of reflection, we turn to the gospel of Jesus Christ according to Luke. This is Luke chapter 19, verses 1 through 10. This is a familiar story, I would hazard a guess. So listen to it with new ears on this Sunday. It's in your pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. It's in the New Testament on page 77. Jesus entered Jericho and was passing through it. A man was there named Zacchaeus. He was a chief tax collector and was rich. He was trying to see who Jesus was, but on account of the crowd he could not, because he was short in stature. So he ran ahead and climbed a sycamore tree to see him, because he was going to pass that way. When Jesus came to the place, he looked up and said to him, "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." So he hurried down and was happy to welcome him. All who saw it began to grumble and said, "He has gone to be the guest of one who is a sinner." Zacchaeus stood there and said to the Lord, "Look, half of my possessions, Lord, I will give to the poor. And if I have defrauded anyone of anything, I will pay back four times as much." Then Jesus said to him, "Today salvation has come to this house, because he too is a son of Abraham. For the Son of Man came to seek out and to save the lost." This is the word of God for the people of God. Thanks be to God. As I mentioned earlier, this story about Zacchaeus has been taught to little kids ever since there was Sunday school in church. I can remember several years ago when Zach came home from preschool one day. He was absolutely delighted to share with us the new song that he had learned about Zacchaeus. It is a delightful story that still has wonderful lessons for us today. You know, as I listen to that, so much of this description of Zacchaeus could have been a description of me. And also, I believe, perhaps a description of any of us here today. When you really think about what's going on here, you realize that Jesus was speaking to three aspects of Zacchaeus: to his physical nature, to his worldly nature, and his spiritual nature. So see if you don't agree that Jesus is also speaking to these same three aspects of our nature as well. The first things of anything that we discover about Zacchaeus are that he is a tax collector, he is rich, and he is short. Now, I'm not suggesting that any of us here today is a tax collector, or rich, or necessarily short, but think about it anyway. It's important that we know that he is a rich tax collector, because that immediately sets up his character as an easily recognized sinner and as someone who is vastly different from the majority of people in Jericho and throughout the Roman Empire of that time by virtue of his wealth. It's ironic that this man would want to see who Jesus was. It's likely that he was simply curious, given all the stories that had gone around about this kook from Nazareth. It's important that Zacchaeus was short in stature, because this ostensibly explains why he climbs the tree in order to get a good look at Jesus above the throngs of people. But this is also kind of strange, that such an important person in Roman society would actually climb a sycamore tree in public to get a view of this backwoods prophet. This tree climbing hints at the blatant reason that Jesus is able to see Zacchaeus out of the crowd to pick him out, but it quickly becomes clear that Jesus was looking for Zacchaeus as much as Zacchaeus was looking for Jesus. Jesus calls out to Zacchaeus, not so much in a greeting, but rather in a fairly abrupt demand. "Zacchaeus, hurry and come down, for I must stay at your house today." In that simple act of call and response, in the time it took to climb down out of that tree, Jesus has forgiven Zacchaeus of all of his many sins. Zacchaeus was immediately justified by Jesus. And in that moment, Zacchaeus understood quite clearly that what other people around him said was absolutely true. He was a rich tax collector and he was a sinner. And Zacchaeus responded to Jesus immediately with specific actions that he committed to take in order to repent of his sinful lifestyle. He promised to give one half of all of his possessions to the poor, and he promised to pay back fourfold anyone he had defrauded. What an amazing story. But what does this story have to tell us today? The fact that Zacchaeus is short points out his physical nature and ours. We are human beings with human bodies. And as much as some people throughout church history have tried to separate our bodies from our spirits, you will not find that idea of separation in Greek or Roman understanding, nor will you find that sentiment in the Bible either. It's not there. According to Jesus, our bodies are fully interrelated with our spirituality. They are fully connected and not at all separate. Think about the Bible stories. Jesus always spoke to the humanness of those he met. He was always concerned about their health, about whether they had enough to eat. He was always ready to heal their bodies at the same time that he healed their spirits. Salvation was a corporal as well as a spiritual affair, and it remains so today. God has given us an amazing gift in our bodies, and we are to take care of this human machine. We are reminded to eat healthy foods, to get daily and vigorous exercise, to get sufficient sleep, and to wash our hands often, because truly I tell you, Jesus is concerned about your physical nature as well as your spiritual nature. The facts that Zacchaeus is a rich man and a tax collector are also important and insightful. Jesus didn't speak about a kingdom of God that existed after the end of time. Jesus spoke about God's kingdom as being right here, right now. John the Baptist said it, and then Jesus himself proclaimed it, "The kingdom of heaven is at hand." And that meant that Jesus was concerned about people's worldly nature. People's immediate problems in this world were Jesus' problems. Their persecution by the Roman Empire, their marginalization in the Roman society, their hunger and poverty and hopelessness, and that is the same situation today. Truly, I tell you, Jesus is concerned about your worldly nature and about the nature of our world. So many times throughout Scripture, Jesus spoke about money and the lack of money, how the rich had lots and the poor had almost none. You've probably heard the numbers before about how many times Jesus talks about money, page after page after page in the New Testament. Because Jesus addressed the very real crux of the problem, that commodity that separated the haves from the have-nots. And there are always and continue to be so many more have-nots. And this story of Zacchaeus is no different. His response of repentance is directly related to money. And it is very specific in describing what Zacchaeus will do. Right here, right now, in this church, God has given us so many blessings that we can likely not even count the number and diversity of our gifts. Each of us has innumerable gifts of a physical, a spiritual, and a worldly nature. And Jesus, today, is calling us, each of us, to walk the path of responsible and mature stewardship. In light of taking care of these many gifts in our spiritual stewardship emphasis, we too need to be as specific as Zacchaeus was in our response to Jesus' call. Each of us can make a written pledge of the amount of money that we will offer back to God through this church for the coming year of 2008. We need to commit it to paper. Each of us can prayerfully consider giving a larger donation than we have in the past. Each of us can find that place where our talents and our interests lie, that place in the leadership of this church that will move us collectively toward our vision for Burns Church. By serving in Dawn's footsteps as the financial secretary, by serving on a committee, by volunteering in the nursery, by helping to count money each Sunday, by assisting with the youth group. When someone is received into membership into this church, he or she promises to faithfully participate in its ministries by your prayers, your presence, your gifts, and your service. It's likely that you said those words when you joined this church. It is to that specific stewardship role that Jesus is calling each of us today. When you think about this age-old story of Zacchaeus climbing the tree to get a glimpse of Jesus Christ, you may not identify too closely with this short, rich tax collector. But you may resonate to the idea of our collective physical, spiritual, and worldly natures. And I pray, my brothers and sisters, that you hear Jesus speaking directly and lovingly to you, for the Son of Man came to seek and to save the lost. Amen.